Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news for March 11th, 2024. We are recording this at 1 p.m. Eastern time, and this is episode number 421. Today, I have arranged for the option professor to be back for a solo market update episode. And the title of this one is, Are You Prepared for a Sharp Market Drop in April? So we'll see what he has to say about that. So I'll turn it over to the option professor.
Okay. Hey, thanks, David. And thanks, everybody, for being here. And again, the question is, will we get a drop like that in April? And we're going to go over some things that might indicate that they could happen. And then, of course, until you get proof of something happening, you generally obviously don't take action on it. Quick background on myself. I've been doing the seminars on options for decades. I've been in the markets for decades. I've been to the Options Institute in Chicago for the CBOE for advanced options training, and I have traded thousands and thousands of options in my career. So this is something I do for a living for a very long time. So I'm a lot more knowledgeable than the average bear. And so I try to help people with two areas. One is I try to help them with my timing indicators, because if your timing stinks, you're going to lose your money. And secondly, I talk about all the different strategies, which I obviously know very, very clearly because I've been aware of them and used many of them for many years. So I consider myself a very knowledgeable source. So at the end of the broadcast, I'll explain how we can talk, and I can get you to be a little bit obviously more informed on the options and trading. And then, of course, I share my ideas with you, as well as you share your ideas with me, and I can give you my opinion on what I think they look like. So at the end of the broadcast, I can tell you how you can get all that kind of stuff. All right, now let's talk about the markets here. Again, is there a possibility that we're going to have a sharp drop between now and the end of April, which is now 6 weeks? So in the next 6 weeks, is it possible we can get a very sharp drop? We're going to take a look at that. Okay, first off, let's talk about the S&P 500. Now, I'm going to be showing you, basically the indicators I work with. So I always look at things on a long-term basis, and then I go to a shorter-term basis. By the way, if you have a stock or anything you'd like to talk about, throw it in the chat box. I'll try to get to it and give you an idea. But again, my view is it's kind of like Tom Brady with a football field. He knows where everybody is on the entire field, and then he can see what he thinks is the high probability situation. But if you only looked at one part of the field, like the one-day chart, the five-day chart, the one-month chart, he would have no idea in perspective where the entire group of receivers are, correct? Well, like that in trading, I like to see the whole field. Now, the whole field means you start out with the 20-year graph, then you go to the five-year graph, then you go to the one-year graph, then you go to the one-month graph. Now, I know where all the receivers are, and I can see if they all seem like they're open, if they all seem like they're doing well, or if they're all in concert, or if in fact there's different things going on the field that I should be aware of. So again, that's the idea of starting with the long term and shooting it to the short term. Obviously, when you're looking at the long term, that's one thing. If you're doing short term trading, obviously I'm focusing in on the 1 month, but I need to know what the whole picture looks like. I'll give you an example on why that's important. Okay, with regards to the S&P 500, this is called extended. How do we know it's extended? Because the moving averages are down here. And where are they at on the long-term graph? They're down at 4,500 and 4,200 and 4,300. And we're almost at 5,200. So that's pretty far away from the averages. As you can see, back in 2022, if somebody told you when we're way up here at 4,800 that it's going to revert back to the blue line, you'd say they've been drinking. But they weren't drinking. If they were drinking, they were drinking water while everybody else was drinking booze. Right. So bottom line is that does happen. Is it going to come back down to this level at some point? Maybe not this year. Maybe they'll get through this year because it's an election year. But at some point, it's going to revert back to the mean. Why do I feel that way? Because I have evidence in the last 20 years that that's what happens at some point in time. Sometimes the reversion is only to the red line, sometimes to the green and blue. And if it gets real nasty, it goes down to purple like it did during COVID. And if it gets really nasty, it goes through purple and through gold. And that's the crash of 08. So again, if things really unravel, you go through purple and gold. If it unravels and then they come in and print $9 trillion, then they can hold purple. Do you think there was a coincidence that when we went down here, the Fed opened up 14 facilities to start loaning money to Treasury so that Treasury can go out and buy all these bonds that they probably are not allowed to do through the Fed? Of course not. So they can see when it's getting to a point of a crisis that they'll do anything they can to get it to go back up, which is what they did. So if you're using my stuff, obviously you would have not gotten out unless it broke purple. And once it got back above blue, you'd be in there for the whole time. And red didn't get broken until 4,500. And then red went back up at 4,100. Do you think it was coincidence that the Fed, look at where the numbers are. Do you think it's coincidence that right there in October, the Fed came in and said that they were going to cut rates in 24? I mean, look where the prices were in October of last year after it got tested here. This was like in what, early 2023, got back above, starts going up. And can look at this. Can you see October? Excuse me. If we were to break down in October, because look at this, you have a high point, you come down, you go back up, you don't take out the high. You know what 1-2-3 formation means, right? This is the one move. This is your two move. And if they break here and take out 3,500, you're going down to 3,000. And that's an election year coming up. No way that they can have that happen. So what does the Fed do in October? We're on the verge of going and breaking down. They come out with this story that they're going to cut rates in 2024, right? And of course, it's now getting to be April and we have no cuts yet, correct? All right. So do you notice when they said they were going to hike interest rates in 2022, they did it immediately. Do you know when they say they're going to cut rates in 2024, they still haven't done it. And again, there's a reason why it's been 6 months since they said they were going to cut rates and we haven't seen one, because obviously they're very nervous about cutting rates. Why would they be nervous? Because Bitcoin's at 70,000, gold's getting above 2,100, 2,200. Things are getting out of, and the dollar, you'll see, has dropped a lot. So in a strong environment like we have, where you go to every restaurant out there and they're packed, and people are traveling and spending money, cutting interest rates in that environment with a dollar that's on the ledge anyway, is very dangerous to do. Fiscal deficits are going to be enormous. So just imagine if you have fiscal deficits that are tremendous and you've got cutting interest rates. I mean, do you realize how, that might be very negative for the dollar and very positive for these assets that are non-dollar, like gold, silver, and Bitcoin. So that's why they're hesitant. And that's why they keep saying they're going to do it, like, the man who cried wolf. Okay. So the bottom line is that those cuts may not be happening right away. Okay. And so again, I'm looking for a reversion to the mean, but I have no evidence of it yet to speak of. So let's go to the 5-year graph. The 5-year graph, again, still pretty extended. A reversion to the red line would be 49.53. Hey, that's a couple hundred points from here almost. That's not a bad drop. That's something to look at. And then a more significant reversion, which I think is still on the table at some point, is going back toward 4,600, because that was the high point we broke out from. So pulling back to 4,800 or 4,600, if we have a reversion, is in the cards. Now go up and down the block and ask how many people think that's going to happen. And you know how many are going to tell you that? None. Zero. Okay. In fact, they keep hearing Larry Fink of BlackRock saying you should be 100% in stocks if you can handle it. Well, that was true when Larry knew the Fed was going to make that comment back in October and November. That was a very good idea. But up here, it might not be so good. It might be what they call a little late. Okay. So again, that's where you are on the 5-year graph. Very strong, very uptrending. Again, right there in October, you're right on the edge. If we break purple, you're going down to gold. Okay. So again, it broke purple for like 1 week and then right back on the bicycle. Okay. So this thing has obviously been a very nice uptrend. I told people all about this. So if you follow, if you listen to what I say, or you want to understand what I think, this is where I was talking. Not up here. Okay. Look at the 1-year graph. What do you got? You got, and I'm also looking at RSI. RSI was over here at 72. 72, and then it goes up here and it's 68. That's not increasing. And then you're up here at 69, not higher than 72. And right now you're at 60. So again, the thing's running out of steam. Okay. The thing's running out of steam. At 5,200, it ran out of some steam. Now the red line comes in at what? 5,104. We went down there today to 5,091, and now we're back above it. Not yet. Not yet. You understand? A patient man is a smart man in this business. Okay. So the bottom line is that we're running out of steam. We're way extended. And again, March and April can sometimes be seasonally weak. In fact, I'll show you something about the VIX a little later. Okay. I'm not building a case that it has to drop. I'm saying that if I start seeing it turn over, I'm not going to be a deer in a headlight. You understand? I'm not going to be hanging around with so many drunken bullish people that I'm not going to realize the tide might be changing. Okay. That's not the way I like to do things. And again, will there be plenty of people to take profits or sellers? Of course. Now, has there been any evidence of a turn? Have you seen the price of Google? Have you seen the price of Apple? Have you seen the price of Tesla? They've already cashed out up at 200 on Apple, et cetera. So the bottom line is that, and then of course you saw on Friday with Nvidia, I mean, you know, they're one of the great stocks of all times, goes up to 975, loses $100 before you can spell Nvidia. All right, so here you go. So again, you know, there's a key number, 5,104. And if it drops through there, you got, and this is on a 1 year graph, you got the green line coming in at 5,053, and then you got 5,000. Okay. So this is on a short term trading basis. These are pretty good, what they call retracements to the mean, and you see it happen here, went from there down to the green. Boom, boom, boom. Now we've got retraced. Well, I mean, come on, you got over 100 points on just looking for a reversion back to the red line, right? So in a week, you got 100 points just off of that. And that's nothing. You know, that's nothing compared to how far we've come. And you got gaps all over the place. You know, you got gaps there and, you know, gaps get filled sometimes. So, all right. And on a 1 month basis, what do you got? Okay. Now here's the deal. You start over here. Now you got a big gap down here. Okay. So again, that's an attractor. In my view. Okay. And don't forget, we had 50-50 as a possibility, which it hit over here. And then, of course, we got 5,000 as a possibility underneath 5,000, 49 and change, right? And then, of course, that would fill the gap down here. So now let's look at are we running out of steam? 74 on the RSI, 67 running out of steam, and 56. Things run out of steam. Okay. Now you're underneath the 5,401.40 level. It came down and filled the gap. Remember I told you how gaps get filled? Well, there's a gap here too, and it just went up and tried to fill it. So right now, if I'm short-term trading, I know that the blue line and the green line come in at 5,120. It's very possible that, and obviously you can see today, they have not been able to get above it, right? So if we have a CPI report tomorrow that gets people excited, it could run up towards the red, which is 5,140, okay? And that would be an area that I'd be looking at very hard. Because again, if it goes up there and then goes back underneath 5,120, then I would think that could be a pretty good sign that maybe you could do some selling and put your stops above 5,140 and see if you're going to get further deterioration. Again, green and blue joined right here means that's a very important point in my mind. So if we can start trading above that and get above 5,140, then again, we're going to avoid getting negative because we don't have the evidence of a turn. We don't have the evidence of a turn, okay? And without the evidence of a turn, I'm not interested in doing anything. But I certainly recognize the possibility that there could be a turn because money's coming out of tech now. Did you see a Broadcom? What is that going? That had a big hit the other day. You know, Palantir's even getting whacked a little bit, okay? So the bottom line, they're coming out of there. And I don't know that these other sectors can keep the whole thing up since what? 30, 40% of these indexes is what? Is this tech? I mean, you want to get really scary in SMH, 41% of the index is five stocks. And they are NVIDIA, Broadcom, Advanced Micro Devices, Qualcomm, and Intel. They hit those five stocks, the SMH is going to turn over. If the SMH turns over, what do you think? The QQQs are going to go up. And then even on the S&P, it's like 30%. So again, you know, the only thing keeping the thing up, you know, in some respects has been those high flying stocks. So again, you know, I'm not the guy who cried wolf. I'm saying, listen, I've been around a long time. The thing is definitely extended. Now, the question is it going to have a reversion to the mean or not? I got no evidence on the 20 year yet. I got no evidence on the five, and I got really no evidence on the one, but I'm starting to. But see, the red line's not pointing down on the one, and you're not going to have a big drop in the market until the red line's pointing down. Kind of like what? Kind of like over here in August, kind of like over here in September and October, kind of like going into November. You know, when you get it pointing down, you get the drops. If you don't get it pointing down, you don't get the drops. You understand why I'm in no hurry here? But I'm on it like white on rice if it starts to turn, because I know there's a lot of potential. I mean, if they change the tune on this thing. Now, again, why would March and April be the time frame where something could happen? Well, let's talk about that. First of all, let me show you the VIX. Hang on here and let me show you the VIX. Now, why do I follow the VIX? Because obviously I'm an options guy and the VIX is very important, right? So, oh, that's the 10-year note. I'm sorry. That's something else I watch as well, which I'll talk about in a second. Okay, so on the VIX, what are you talking about here on the VIX? Here's what I've been telling people on the VIX. Since the December low, which is what, 1181, the month, that's December low, the month of January had a higher low, the month of February had a higher low, and the month of March had a higher low, okay? Now, what does that tell me? It tells me that it's growing. And you know, if you go back to 2017, you could notice that in the month of March, the VIX can spike up. Now, let's show a little proof of that, Jim, and we'll show you some proof of that. In 2017, where are you here? March 2017, the low on the VIX was 10 and the high was 15. Okay. On 2018, March, let's go March. The low on the VIX was 14.57 and the high was 25. Now let's go to the 2019. 2019, what do you got on the VIX? You got a VIX that had a low of 12 and a high of 18. Then you go to 2020, and that one's really going to scare you here because we had a low of 24 and a high of 85. That was, of course, with the COVID deal. 2021, we had a VIX of low 18, high of 32. 2022, starting to pile up some evidence here, huh? The low was 18 and the high was 37. And what do we got in 2023? The low was 18 and the high is 30. And what do we got this month so far? We got a low of 13 and a high of 60. Okay. So what is the potential there? The potential is we could spike up in the VIX. If we spike up on the VIX, then you're going to have a drop in the market because that's what happens when the VIX spikes up. Okay. And why would you even think it could happen? Because I just showed you the lows going back since the December low are higher. And we all know from our technical study 101 that that is something that could be problematic. And we also are above the, where are we above? We're above the red line. We're above the blue line. We're above the green line. We're above the purple line. And we're getting above the gold line, which comes in at 1561. So, if you get above the gold line, this is called open land, like old Bo Jackson, when he used to run, they used to only see the back of his jersey once he broke away from the crowd. Any of you old running back, aficionados would have heard, Bo Jackson, right? So that's what could possibly happen. That's why I'm being prepared for reversion to the mean, because the VIX looks like it could spike, because the VIX has been having higher lows, because the entire planet is bullish on stock, because children and housewives and gas station attendants are all talking about NVIDIA, right? So the bottom line is I just want to be prepared for the other side, because there could be some potential, and this would be the time frame where it might happen. Then, of course, in April, you have earnings coming out. And could you just imagine if the earnings were not growing fast enough? Now, again, very important to note that earnings comps in the next two quarters are supposed to be easy, because I guess earnings stunk a year ago, right? So the comps are easy comps. So that could be something that could be a problem. Now, again, I'm also looking at gaps on the VIX. So again, I always throw a balanced presentation. You know what I mean? I'm not a guy who just talks one side of the street. There's always two sides of the street. Pancakes always got two sides. You don't think that, you're going to lose a lot of money, because that pancake theory is really true. Two sides on every coin, right? Okay. So on the bullish side, obviously the trends have not turned over, right? Right. Second thing is there's gaps underneath here. One's at 1350. The other one is down at 13 even. Again, we went to the high point here was 1317, and this low here was only 1308. And so we didn't totally close the 13 deal. So again, what would make the VIX go from here and close these gaps? A major rally. That's why flexibility is very important when you're trading. I have a view, but I look for proof and evidence. I don't just go blindly with my view. And I don't mind I don't mind changing my tune, because if you don't change your tune in these markets, you're going to get run over. So that's why I was telling you, what would make me think this thing's going to rally up toward, this is my 1 month graph. You remember on the 1 year graph, I got, where am I at here? 51.11. Okay, it's trading above that now, did penetrate it. If I go to the 1 month graph, I can see it can go up to 51.40. Well, if we go to 51, if we start breaking above 51.40 and you get the red line pointing up and it tested purple and held, and this RSI that's under 50 starts getting above 50 and we get above blue and we get above green, okay? Well, then that VIX down going to fill those gaps at 1350 and maybe 13 points could happen. And so I would not mind changing my tune if that happens at all, because I just want to be right. Okay. So, but I mean, I paint a picture of a correction because believe me, there's enough stones there to create a little walkway, but you need to have some people on the walkway for it to happen. And right now, as you can see from my 1 year graph, I don't have a lot of people on that walkway. I need to get this thing under 51.11 and I need to get that thing pointing down. That's not happened yet. Okay. So we're talking, shall we say, preemptively, because if it does start rolling over, you know, it probably could happen a little bit on the faster side, but it could be choppy because the things are not pointing down. I mean, when they all point down is where you make the real money, right? Just like on the upside, when they all point up, that's where you make the real money. So right now, again, we're just talking about a reversion to the mean. A minor one has already occurred. We went down to 51.11, right? A more major one would take you down here to 50.50. A more major one would take you down to about $5,000. Okay. So we're not talking about falling out of bed here, because there is support underneath the market technically. And on the 5 year graph, you know, the red line is probably about as good as you're going to get if it's going to be minor, and that's 49.75. But if the real change happened, like what? Real change, like we're not going to get the cuts because things are going a lot different than I thought. Some people are saying no cuts all year. That market is not priced for no cuts all year. And then you've got earnings in the second quarter, and God forbid they're not fantastic. So you got a couple of things coming up in the months. And of course, you got the history of the VIX spiking in the month. So you got a couple of things here that would make it very reasonable man be somewhat ready for some kind of a turn in the markets. But a reasonable man would also wait for some evidence before he jumped in and did anything like that. Hedging tactics like selling calls out of the money has not been a terrible idea, you know, recently. I mean, let's look at Nvidia real quick, just because everyone is just so high on it. I mean, when it went up to 975, I didn't price out the calls, but I would imagine the 970, the 1000 calls and the 1100 calls are probably going for pretty good money. You can sell the call, if you want to hedge yourself, you could sell the call up at 1000 or 1050 and buy yourself a 900 put or a 950 put. And at least you've got parameters on your equity, which means what? You've got upside potential to the strike price and you've got a downside floor at another price. And, you know, that might not be a bad thing to do if you had a big position in there and you had a lot of profit in there. Or, you know, you could, if you made this much money on it, you might look to just buy insurance on it, like you buy insurance on your house. And of course, like any insurance, you pay a premium. And if the market does not have an accident, then of course you lose the premium, but you're still in the stock. And then basically the replacement trade is where you blow out the stock at 975 and you buy calls at 1000. And then if the market keeps going, you've got at least a hedge on upside risk, upside what they call opportunity risk. And then if it goes in the tank, all you lose is the premium. The rest of the money is in your pocket. And if it has a pullback to 700, you could buy back in $300 less. These are some of the things you would know if you knew a lot about options like I do. If you traded options for many decades like I do, if it's a second language to you like it is for me. It's not very difficult for me to hop from one idea to another, to change strategies, to go from hedging to speculation, to go from long-term options to weeklies. It's not hard for me at all. Okay, so anyway, that is the story on the S&P. Okay, and those are some of the reasons why I was taking a look at it. Let's look at SMH again. Highly, highly concentrated index. I see somebody saying, I read people saying that if you put 100 grand or 200 grand or 100 grand into SMH and it just does a 15% return, you'll get 800 grand in 10 years. If it does 20%, you'll get 1.2 million. If it does 25%, you'll get 1.8 million. So again, those kind of talk, that talk doesn't happen at the lows. You understand? That talk doesn't happen at the lows. You know, in October, were they talking like that? No. And every time I click on my MSN thing, if I click on anything to do with stock or anything, I get 9 million things going on telling you about, you know, Buffett's favorite things. And Buffett does that. I mean, you know, Buffett, I know they pimp him out like, I don't know what, to do advertising. I don't know if he's knows that he's, you know, on every billboard with his quotes and the stocks he owns and whatever. And anyway, here's your semiconductor. That looks a little bit like the Eiffel Tower, right? Because it goes up to 240, and that's a little Eiffel Towery to me. Is it an overbought condition? You tell me. And then is there any evidence of a turn? Okay, well, again, reversion to the mean. When we're at 240 and I say there's gaps to be filled there and there, and it could revert back to the mean, which would at least be down here, it's already done that. So where would you have gotten a sell signal here with the stuff I look at? Well, look at the five-day graph. Told me to get out of this thing at what? 235. I would have been gone out of this thing at 235, and it's filling gaps. See, filled gap right there, filled the gap, and now it filled the gap. So the correction may be over and we could pop because look, you're holding purple right now. So obviously if you can hold this neighborhood of 219, 221, that would be very positive. And maybe if we get a nice CPI report tomorrow, they can make these things pop back up. Again, you know, where would it pop back up to? See, it's holding blue. That's not bad. And so if, in fact, they get it to pop, I would be looking very closely at this neighborhood up here, which is 228, 230, and see if it can get through. If it can get through, you're back on the horse again. If it can't, and then it starts getting back under 225 and 221, then you probably have a more significant correction ahead. And where would that be to? Well, green's down at 219, and they're at 220, 200. So if you got a more significant drop, these are your next two neighborhoods where you might see it. And there's a big gap here, you know, and then there's a gap right there. So going down towards 210 seems like it might not be a very unreasonable thing to happen if we get a more significant correction, if we can't get above 230 after they come out with the CPI tomorrow. That's my call. That's my view. Okay. And then let's look at a couple of other things here that people are into. So I'm getting into other, I want to get into some other markets that are just beginning possibly. Okay. All right. So this is the consumer discretionaries. And let's see, you know, consumer discretionaries, Starbucks, Home Depot, you know, where people can discretionarily spend money. That's why they call it consumer discretionary. Okay. This is another one that's, had a drop. And it is trying to possibly turn down. But again, they only drop big if the red line's pointing down and it crosses green and it crosses blue. So again, you haven't done that yet. So it's early. It's early. Broken under 24 at 180, 21. And so the blue comes in and holding up the fort at 178 right now. And that's consumer discretionary. Why would I be concerned here is your RSI here was 83. And what's your RSI up here? 66. That's a diversion. That means it's run out of steam. And that when you run out of steam, you have a risk of a drop. That drop has already begun. Is it going to be continual? Are these things going to trend? Because that's what the moving averages are about. They're about the trend. Relative strength is about the momentum. And I have my own way of reading these things. Okay. Obviously, everybody's got moving averages and everybody knows what the RSI is, but not everybody interprets it the same way. That's the difference between me and others. I have my own interpretation built on what? Decades of experience. And I always give a balanced presentation because you know what? These guys that always talk about one side of the street only, they're pandering to people that are not being realistic. There's always two sides to the story. And if you forget that, you're going to get whacked. Okay, let's talk about some things other. Okay, what about communications? XLC. That's your Google, Facebook, and then a bunch of other people. Okay, communications. Again, everything's on the ledge up here, but I'm noticing that what? That relative strength peaked up here at 75, and it's been kind of like losing altitude, and now it's in the 50s. So again, if we can get under where on this one, this is XLC. If we get under, if we can get under 79, 78, right? Under 79, 78, then it opens the door to going to 72. If we can't, as you can see, the RSI is hugging 50. Again, if we can't, you buy everything you can with stops underneath 78, right? Now, let's look at some of the big players here. Because Google's making a little bit of a turn. Is the correction over here? Let's find out. It's having a good day today. Okay, so here's the deal on Google. Again, you had a drop from 155 all the way down to 130, okay? It held the gold line, which is good. That RSI is trying to turn up, which is good. But it's got a lot of what they call resistance here. You know, if we're talking football, they got by the cornerback. And then they got the linebacker looking at them. And they got the defensive end, you know, because these ones are stronger averages because they're longer term. So these are going to be a little more difficult to get through. So this thing could still pop to 145 neighborhood and still be a down market. And there's a tiny gap there at 145. So that could be where it's going. Maybe a good report sends you up there. And if you find out you can't stay above 145 and you start coming back down, then that would tell you that this thing is not done with the down move. Looks like a little bit of a gap up here. If it really, you know, if it really gets going, it could go up to this neighborhood. And the low there is 152 and the high there is 151. So it could try to fill that gap if it really gets moving. So if we break through the green, which comes in at what? 141, and then breakthrough blue comes in 144. Then again, going up to fill that gap, the odds would be increasing. The odds would be increasing. Okay. Right now, again, getting back underneath 137, failing to stay above purple, which is 138 and a half, would mean that you're not done yet with this thing. And the RSI is running back to 50, so it hasn't really broken through 50 yet. On the 1 month graph, I got the buy signal down here at 133. It filled that gap. Again, you see that gap up here? That could be where it's trying to go, which is 145 ballpark. And if it goes up there, it's going to run into purple. So this neighborhood is obviously an area of resistance. But again, you should have been popping this thing at 133. So you should have been in there since, what, 3 days ago. What about Apple? What about Facebook? Meta. Okay, what Meta can do for you. Meta is obviously under some pressure because it is reverting to the mean. That's what it's doing. Let's look at a 20-year graph. You see, that's what they call poster child for overbought. And then you've got the 5-year graph there. And again, another poster child for overbought. And that comes in at 437. 1-year graph, again, you were away from it at 520. Red line here. So you reverted back. That's called reversion to the mean. And it happens a lot, if not always, at some point. Now, and here you've got the big gap. So I don't know, can this thing not get that gap? 460 would be an area where if it got a further downside. But again, the red line's not pointing down, so it's too early to get into any kind of a major correction. The 1 month give you a little bit of a sell signal here at 505, okay? But the red hasn't crossed over green, which hasn't crossed over blue. And again, we've already dropped down here, hasn't filled the gap down here, which we say is 460, 465 down there. We haven't filled that out yet. So I would think that if we do rally again, the points where it would have some resistance would be 502, 500, 496. So if you get a nice pop on the CPI report, remember these levels. If it can't get through them, there's still some unfinished business down here, 465. Right here, it's a tough call to do anything, right? You're in the middle of nowhere. It's had its correction, so you don't want to really be shorting it now. You should have been doing that up here. And on buying it, you know, it's not above anything. Even on the 5-day, I don't think it's turned up. Well, it's holding gold, so, you know, that's a level of importance. The gold level of importance is 485. So, you know, keep an eye on that one. But, and again, you got the gap there. So we'll have to see. Again, they've got more work towards 460, 465 if it wants to really unwind a little bit more, or it could have a nice rally on CPI, and then it's got resistance up there. Those would be the two areas of most interest to me, in the 460, 465 neighborhood or up around 500, 505. Those are neighborhoods that seem like they would be more areas of which to decide to do something, right? Up there or down here, fill that gap. Okay, so that's what's happened there. Let's talk about things that have been changing. What has been changing? Well, the price of gold has been changing. Well, let's go to crypto first. Okay, I always use GBTC because I've always used it. You know, I bought it a long time ago. And, you know, so again, you know, this stuff just keeps going and going and going because obviously they're saying that the halving is coming up in April. And there's, I have read, now this, I'm not saying this is true or not, but they said 90% of the mining has been done already, which meant to me that, and that's why I took some put positions on Mara, because I think the miners are going to get whacked because first of all, when you have it, they get half the revenue. That can't be good for them. And then, of course, it looks like the amount of to mine might be getting very. Now, I'm not 100% expert on this. I'm just talking. But the point is that if you can verify that, that would be a good thing. Have they really done 90% of all they're going to mine? Because people love scarcity. I'll show you an example of how they do it. But this is, again, poster child for overextended. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, this stuff was telling you to buy here, which is where I was interested in it. Down here, interested. I'm interested. Crosses purple, very interested. And then comes back to the red line, interested. But up here, I have no interest. No interest. In fact, you know, this is an area where you might want to start learning how to protect yourself a little bit, which would mean what? You know, your collars, your replacement trades, your buy a put as a protection, you know, some type of insurance possibility here. And that's the Bitcoin, right? And then Ethereum, same story, really. I use ZTHE on it. And on Ethereum, again, you know, where am I interested? You know, in 23, again here, again here, again here, crosses purple, very interested. And then not interested at all up here, not interested at all. I mean, the stuff you hold here, fine, you know, let it ride, see how far the crazies can take it. But, and like I say, this hasn't made a new high, so it might have more to go. Because the highs were over here. But the stuff that really has benefited is obviously the people that are forming a market like Coin. And I mean, this thing is just, you gone nuts. Okay. Again, this stuff obviously used to be higher, but you know, it is the poster child for extended. It's a poster child for extended. So if you want to do stuff on this stuff, you try to do it against these averages, not when they're way away. That's supposed to be a time to grab the net and get the fish on the boat, not to start fishing. The 1 year graph, again, story same, you know, and it does revert to the mean. You see, you went from 200 right back to the red line. If you wanted to buy, that's where you buy. Up here, it's time to, you know, to grab the net. On the 1 month graph, how's the RSI doing? 65 and then 77 and then 76 and then 80 and then 80. So there's nothing telling you it's running out of steam yet. Nothing is telling you that. Okay. So that's scary. From the standpoint of, you know, and again, I looked at short interest on some of these things like this stock here. This guy, really, you talk about a gutty guy. This guy issues bonds and then he buys Bitcoin with the bonds money. This is what I mean. This is what I understand. But here's the scary thing about this. Somebody said that the value of this company, the actual amount of Bitcoin they own is half of the price of the stock in valuation. And that sounds like a lot. But, you know, not if Bitcoin's going to go to, you know, 50, where's it at? It's at 70,000. Not if it's going to 250 or 300,000, you know, obviously then and maybe it's got good value. But look, it's up $200 here today. And again, when would you get involved in this thing? Well, you know, in the last month, you could have got it at 700. You could have got it at 950. It went down to the green line, could have bought it on a correction of 1,000, you know, could have got it against the red 1250. But up here, you know, up here, you should have already done your business. You should have already done your business. And again, is there any evidence of it peaking here? Your RSI is at 80 and then your RSI is at 81. So there's no running out of steam on this thing. Again, well, if you want to compare it to this, you got 89 RSI. Now, the short interest on this stock is 20%. That is a huge number. So if you want to know where some of the buyings come from, there's some yokel out there who's been shorting it, and he has to go to his boss and say, yeah, I'm short MicroStrategy at 700, at 900. Yeah, it's going to come down. At 1,300, it's coming down. Look, it came down. And then right now he's getting fired and his boss is covering his shorts. Okay. So the bottom line is that the short interest is also, there's a squeeze going on here, a squeeze. And squeezes, once they've been squeezed, sometimes they have to find new buyers. And if they can't find new buyers, once the squeeze is over, it can fall under its own weight. If I was a guessing man, that's probably going to happen here. Okay. So anyway, even on a 1 day basis, it's still strong. So even on a 1 day, you'd have nothing to tell you that it's coming down. RSI here at 69, up here it's at 72. Right now it's at 57. So it's losing something, but look, it's held the green. It's held the green. You start breaking under 1600, these things start turning down on a 1 day basis. It could be the start of something. All right. So that's the Bitcoin story. How about we go to the gold story? Gold has been taken off. And if you listen to me or talk to me, you would know that, because I told you once it got above 2040, 2060, it was going to fly. And that's exactly what it did. Where did I come up with those numbers? I came from those numbers right here. You see, everything is in here, all meeting, like the big meeting of the minds. Let's call that the big meeting of the United Nations. They all got around here. All these moving averages got together. So once we broke above 2040, can you understand why I thought it would fly? And it has. Now that it's flown, it's extended, and it's part of that reversion to the mean crowd. The five-year graph, again, way up here. RSI is at 70, so it's making new highs on the RSI, but it is not making higher highs from the RSI from where we were over here. So again, very strong. You know, you can't knock it. But if I look at my shorter term graphs on it, and by the way, on the 20-year graph, you know, this would, if it was going to explode to the upside, this is the time it will do it. Because again, right here, when you had this high point back in 2020, RSI was 83. This time it failed, RSI was 60. This time it failed, RSI was 59. This time it dropped from 60. Now we're at 66. So again, when you get through this number, sometimes you go into an acceleration phase. So if there was ever a time where it was going to pop to 22, 23, 2400, now is the time. If it doesn't, then a reversion to the means in the works. And how would you know reversion to the means in the works? You go to your 1 month graph. And if this baby starts going under 2180, 2170, then I think possibly a reversion back towards the mean would be in play. Maybe going back to the purple of 2110, where are you at on the 1 year? And look at this, 2110, and where's that at? 2107. So if we do start getting under 2170, going back to 2110, also where these highs are area, is probably going to happen. What has made me concerned about the gold is the mining shares are doing great, and I bought a bunch of them, but I don't like their configuration. Okay. So let's look at GDX, which looks, you know, like it's starting to go someplace. See, today it's had another good day, right? But if I look at the 20-year graph, well, look at the 5-year graph on it. Again, you know, it's up near against purple. Purple comes in at 30.06. It's got above it today. It's got above it. That's good. That's good. But, you know, if you notice when you get big moves up, first of all, you got to get above purple. And then the red line's got to be pointing up. Is the red line pointing up? No. So that make me a little bit thinking, yeah, unless we're just going to spike out of here. I mean, if gold starts opening up at 2250, I mean, I'm sure this baby is going to be blowing through gold and will be at 34, 36, you know, if that happens. So if we do get a blow off in the metal, I think this thing will fly. But if this metal is going to have a correction back toward 2110, then and then maybe something will occur to quiet people down on the metals. Then, of course, you know, that would be a problem. So right now, can't we just see from the gold price? It's on the precipice of possibly exploding to that big rally that every gold bug's dreamed about. It's possible because the setup is there. But again, it's extended on a short term basis. So maybe it needs to come back and then go. We'll have to see. But again, right here, you know, you got a gap down here to maybe comes gets filled. But I thought this when I saw the gold price, you know, obviously I thought this was very cheap down here at 26-ish, no doubt. And Newmont Mining, you know, some of the big ones, they still look like, I mean, a total bear market. Now, again, these guys have different things. They got interest rates affecting them. They got a bunch of other things affecting them. So, you know, but I mean, this is not something. I mean, look at this is when it runs, right? Right. This is when it runs, right? Right. This doesn't look like it's running anywhere. But, you know, sometimes out of the blue, it could rally. Like here, it ran out of the blue from a low price of 33 and it went all the way up to 43. So you got a $10 run even during thing. So maybe this thing is going to go from the 29.30 and maybe it's going to blow out of the blue, which comes in at 38. So maybe it's going to go from 28 to 38 or 40 and then have trouble again. I don't know. But this is not the look of a really big bull market. So I'm sorry to rain on anybody's parade, but I just tell you what I can see. Now, the 1 year, it is turning up. And that's why you remember I said it could go up here towards that 38 number or even 40. So you still got some room here of anywhere between $3 and $5 and still be in a down market. You know, the longer term graphs here, you can see, you know, come in, right? If you go up to the red line here in the purple, you're going to be at that 38-40 neighborhood. And if you can break through there, you got green at 45 and then you got blue. But I mean, again, getting above purple, I think, is the key. So if this thing could ever break above the 40 number, that would make it a lot more interesting because then it would look, maybe it would make all this stuff under 40, something that shouldn't have occurred in the first place. And of course, buying it at 40 on its way to 50 or 60 or 70 is not going to hurt anybody. But right now you're buying it in the basement and, you know, things stay in the basement until you let them out of the basement. And I think above 40 might be telling you you're out of the basement here. So keep an eye on it because obviously it also pays a decent dividend. And on the silver, you'll notice that it is trying to take off. It's above 20. You know, again, this is very similar to what gold was at 2040. And you saw what happened to gold at 2040. So again, this thing is getting ready to either roar or, you know, something's going to happen to make it go down. But the bottom line is that the way this thing looks with all the averages here looks like it's trying to take off. And again, people might start getting into tangible things that have some type of scarcity to it. I mean, there's not an unlimited amount of silver and gold in the world. That's interesting to people. There's not an unlimited amount of Bitcoin in the world. There's an unlimited amount of dollars, apparently, and they keep printing more every day. I think we went through the fastest increase of $1 trillion on the deficit in history, like 90 days or something. So again, you know, people see that. And then they can see that everybody around all the central banks are looking at easing. Well, not only have they printed a ton of money and all and inflation has gone up, 9% plus 3.5% is over 12% in 2 years. Right. That's a lot of inflation. And if they're going to cut interest rates and keep deficit spending, there's a reason why they're buying this stuff. So, again, watch your silver here. And one of the stocks on again, silver has the same story as and again, silver again. The buy signal, obviously, down here at 22, 23. With regards to a stock that, you know, has done well when silver's done well is this one here. And this is something, you know, that is beginning to turn. It gave you a buy signal down here on the yearly at around $13. It's already at 14, but plenty of resistance above, right? Again, you know, I'll give you an idea. When this thing can go nuts like it did here in 2020, you know, everything's pointing up. We're above purple. You know, you're not above purple here and not everything's pointing up. So it's kind of weird, the disconnect between the mining shares and the gold price. Something's got to give, I would think. And so we'll have to see exactly what that is. So here's the final thing I'd like to make sure we talk about, which is oil and crude oil. Let's start out with the actual crude. All right, crude oil on a 20-year basis, you know, again, I was very big on it down here in the 65 area where we hit the lows because you can see 64, 65, that's the low against purple. So that's where you want to hit, you know, you want to get interested on the buy side. Then it runs up and comes back to gold. And then the lows, look, the low was 67 and the gold was at 68 and the low was around, 67. So, you know, came down in 10. Now it's right back up here. So, you know, like gold, like silver, oil is ready to do something. And if it starts breaking above 81 and 83, you know, it could fly. And so basically, I'm watching this like a hawk, as well as the oil shares. And again, right here, again, you know, you got a big purple line. So if we can get above purple, which comes in at $85, then you're going to see something to get your attention. Because if we get above $85, you get above purple, you'll have green and gold pointing up. But look, green and gold are above purple when you get the big move. So again, it's still premature. Do you notice that it got above purple, but green and gold blue never really got above purple and went right back in the soup? So again, if we ever break under what? The 65 area, there's an abyss underneath. There's an abyss underneath. So the bottom line is that oil could be very interesting in the next 6 to 12 months, because above 85, you could start seeing 100 or better. And if it starts breaking under here, which is 75 and then 70 and then, 65, then it goes into the abyss. So it's very interesting here. And that's why it's going to be very exciting. Again, on the one-year graph, it is trying to stay with the uptrend. You see the pullback held perfectly at $76. I mean, you think it's coincidence the low was 76.43 and the blue line comes in at 76.38 and the purple comes in at 76.58 and now we're trading 77.46. So it tested it. It reverted to the mean and then it took off. So if there's a big future on the upside in oil, what are some of the ones that look interesting? How about Oxy? Buffett's big holding. Buffett again, huh? Buffett. Buffett's also holding a tremendous amount of cash. Buffett also believes be fearful when people are greedy. Okay, but look at this. This is right there. I don't know. I keep putting up Oxy and they keep giving me this real estate stock. By the way, this real estate stock is right on the edge too. And it's a big company. They got a big dividend. So you want to look at this company. Right now it's critical right around this 52.53. If we get above 52.53, that would be very good for this thing. If we can't, it turns down, that would be bad. So keep an eye, if you own this thing, I know a lot of people like income. Okay, let's talk about Oxy. Oxy's right there too. Can you see this? Go to the 20-year graph. I mean, come on, this thing's getting ready to do something, right? So Oxy starts taking out 63 to 65. It opens the door for the big rally. Again, you know, it's not going to stay in here forever. So you're right there in the wedge, red's meeting purple. You know, when red meets purple and they turn up, sometimes very bullish. So it's one or the other here. You start breaking under 55, it's going to tank. You start breaking above 63, 65, I would think that it's going to have a good run. On the one, and 1 year, again, everything came in here between 60 and 61, 59, 60. So it's right here. And with the RSI, you know, hugging that 50 and pointing up a little bit, you know, I would go with the flow on this one to the upside. In fact, you know, I do have some exposure to this one right here. Okay. And another one is Schlumberger, you know, the drill bits. And this is another one, you know, if you look at the 20-year graph, you know, that's an uptrend, pulled back to the green line, held green line. We start breaking above what? Start breaking above 52. You start breaking above 56 and 60, and this thing will fly. And you don't need 9 million. You don't need 9 million stocks, because there is 9 million stocks out there. Let's give you a little chat here. Are your indicators only SMA? Do you find any value in that? Listen, I have been in it a long time. So do I know all these different ways to analyze the market? Yes, I do. And do I want to be paralyzed by analysis, but paralysis through analysis? I'm not interested in that. I just want to win. And so my feeling is my averages that I use are very valuable. And I think my interpretation of them is very good. And I think my relative strength interpretation is very good. And that's what I rely on. Because the two things I want to know about are what? I want to know about what's the trend. That's why I use the averages. And I want to know what the speed limit is. And that's why I want to know momentum. And that's why I want to know the RSI. Different levels of RSI are very important to me. And so that's what I put weight on. But I'm not looking for confusion. I just want to win. And, you know, I'm not bad mouthing everything else, because I'm sure everything has merit, including flipping coins. But I have found these two items to be very valuable to keep my head clear, keep me in perspective, keep me reasonable. And that's what I want to be when I invest. I want to try to be reasonable. Okay. And like I say, on the short term options, you know, I like to do the 5 day graphs. So obviously here, you know, I got some good buy signals down here at 49 on the short term. So the short term calls at 49 and 50 are already doing pretty good. And then, you know, again, they're even doing better here today. And then of course on Oxy, you know, if I'm doing short term options, I'm going to be looking at the 5 day and the 1 month. And then I have certain strike prices I use. And then when I want to come out of them, my strategies of coming out of them are my own. But I use a multitude of ways of doing it, from coming out partially, rolling up positions, spreading it out. And this is all a second language to me. So if it's not a second language to you, that's why I'm going to, at this point, I'm going to talk about what I could do for you. With regards to I have a link to my indicators, which I send out to people. And then I have a 1 hour online meeting where I discuss how to interpret this stuff and how I interpret this stuff. And I show you some of the trades that I've liked and why the setups were good and why they did so well. I'll give you a for instance here on why I look at the whole picture. ExxonMobil in the last period of time, I had some experience with that. And I want to show you why this is a good classic example of why the whole picture made sense to me. Okay, on ExxonMobil. Okay, if I go to the 20-year graph, I'm just going to show you an illustration here. I could see it was at an all-time high back here, right? And I could see the RSI was at 66 and then 69, and then it was at 64, and then it went down to 56. And then the red line started to turn down. Okay, so I think this thing is running out of steam. And I had an opinion that it would have what they call reversion to the mean, right? So when I see that, just like on the stock market, I want to get on the sell side, but not early. So I go to the 1 year graph and I can see there that we've got a high here of RSI 69, and then we got RSI 64, and then the red line starts turning down. So I know at 116, and on the 1 month chart, it was around 118. I can see that it's rolling over. Now, I looked at the long term graph, which showed me that we're at an all time high. So I think I might be onto something. And then I'm looking at the shorter term puts. And as you can see on a 2 week or 1 week option here, just a little bit out of the money, you got a move when it went through green, when it went through blue, when it went through gold, right? And then again, when the RSI starts accelerating to the downside, this is how you can make a very good hit on the short-term options, okay? Then when you rally back up, you notice it can't get through blue, so you could reinstitute puts at that time and then play it again on the downside. So this thing had a very nice correction, very good time to be fooling around with puts the entire time. And then of course, right now, since it's been at 100, it's time to be playing around with the calls. All right. So anyway, how do you get a hold of me? It's optionprofessor.com. You guys are all trading out there. I can show you a little bit about how my opinions work. You may have some times where you couldn't figure out how to exit a strategy. We can talk about that. I can share my knowledge and experience. And all you got to do is email me your contact information, optionprofessor@gmail.com. That's OPTION. Professor, PROFESSOR at gmail.com. I have a limited amount of time to talk to a limited amount of people. So what I'd suggest you do is email me your contact information. Let's get our appointment together. I don't charge monthly. I don't charge every year. I'm not constantly hitting your credit card 9 million times. I have a very low rate for what you're going to get. You're going to be very happy with it. I'm going to spend as much time as we need to make you understand things. So again, optionprofessor@gmail.com. Send me your contact information. I'll check back with you. Thanks for being here today. I hope you learned something, and I hope we get to talk again. I look forward to trying to help you become a more educated trader. Okay, this is Jim, the Option Professor, sharing his opinions and his knowledge with you. Remember, I don't give advice to people. For that, you go to your a brokerage firm, and they can also determine your suitability and risk tolerance as well. So again, I provide information. Thanks a lot, guys. And I do believe it would be good to speak to you. So I look forward to that. Have a great day.